Hello, 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 lovelies. It is TL, aka the Kinky Cougar, back again for episode 7 of the Kinky Cougar podcast. And I've had so much fun doing this podcast. You guys have been amazing. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. Today's episode is going to be a continuation. I know on the last episode, when I was giving you tips and tricks on how to stay safe and anonymous online, that we were going to step into selling. And so we're going to talk about that today for sure. But one of the things that I want to do is cover some of the common mistakes that sex workers make, whether you're an adult content creator or whether you are a kink and fetish seller where you sell spicy things on the internet. These all fall under the same umbrella as sex work, and these are some common things that across the board and in the industry, sex workers tend to do, and I wanted to give you just a shout out and a fair warning, don't do these things, and then I'm going to dive in a little bit more about them on future episodes, but for today, we're just going to cover that as well as stepping into the selling process itself. I do want to talk about ways that you can stay anonymous while you sell. So it's going to be kind of a bridge of what we just did on the last episode, staying safe and staying anonymous, but in the selling aspect. So let's go over some of the common mistakes and then we'll get into the selling aspect. So we're going to pause just for a quick commercial break and grab your beverage of choice. Remember, this is an 18 plus only podcast. So grab your headphones if you've got little ears around and we'll get going on this. Okay, mistake number one that I see happen all the time. I see these creators and sellers go into social media groups that I belong to and they are just devastated because they got scammed. And what it was they sent content without getting payment up front. You never, ever, 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 ever send content or materials or products or anything. You never deliver something to your buyer until you have been paid up front, and that has actually cleared. I talked a little bit about it on the Amazon wish list thing where, you know, there's a scam where they pretend like they've bought you something and then they get a refund on it and then you are out on that. You have to have cold hard cash land in your account before you send anything. So please, 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 as you move forward as a seller, do not ever take anybody's word for it and use some discernment. If it's too good to be true that they're sending you something that is way more than the value of what you're selling, let's say you're selling something for $50 and they're offering you double, that's a red flag, things like that. So use your head and do not ever, ever, ever deliver anything until you have been paid, like I said, in cold, hard, provable cash. Another thing that falls under this category of, you know, getting scammed and not accepting payment is when people who present themselves as a buyer, but they're just struggling right now. They're really having, you know, a hard time and they don't get paid until Friday, but it's a Tuesday and they'd really love a video now and they'll just pay you on Friday. No, do not do that. When they have money, they can buy. Okay. Do not let somebody's sob story drive your business. That also means that if somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'd like this specific thing, and you say, okay, well, that's going to be $50. And they say, well, I only have 10. I can only afford 10. Don't fall for that. They make a blood sport out of this. Like they literally have done this 50,000 times to 50,000 other creators. They're just trying to test where your weaknesses are and where your soft spots are and to see whether or not you're going to hold to your pricing. So you must always hold to your pricing as well. Don't let somebody else decide what your value or your worth is. You get to name your prices, not someone else. If they can't afford you, then you can just bless and release them and say, well, I'm sorry, you can't afford me. Maybe refer them to somebody that might, be priced differently than you. But the thing is you get to set your prices and you get to hold fast to those prices and you do not need to be pressured or coerced into changing your pricing. Every so often, I will give somebody a price break if they have bought from me multiple times and have been loyal buyers. Then and only then will I consider anything that deviates from the price that I have quoted. I do give price breaks for bulk purchases. So like, let's say they want to buy two pairs of something. I'll let them know that, you know, for $10 more, they can get a third pair. I will give them price breaks in that way, but I never cater to or bend to any type of coercion or persuasion that says that my price is too high. I'm sorry, if my price is too high, then you need to go find somebody else. I am very, very strong in my boundaries on my pricing, and I will be accommodating only to those that have proven themselves to be buyers and reliable and that they are repeat buyers. So keep that in mind. I know I've said this before on the podcast, on previous episodes, but never, ever, ever put all your eggs in one basket. When you are navigating through social media platforms, there are platforms that are not very sex work friendly. Number one, Facebook is really, 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 really cracking down. In my Facebook group, I talk about, I mean, I predicted this back in March before it became a problem. I was teaching you do not want to drop your links on social media because they will catch up with you later. It will bite you in the ass later. It is a cumulative effect if you're dropping your links across social media. There are ways around it. I teach it in my Facebook group. But the thing is when you put all your eggs into one basket, you run the risk of having your social media completely banned. And so when you're putting all your eggs in one basket in one particular platform to do your advertising, then you are really cutting yourself short. You really need to diversify your platforms and promote across different platforms. But I also encourage you to go to my Facebook group because it's universal lessons about selling as a whole, not just in any one particular platform, even though it is geared towards OnlyFans creators. The lessons that I teach are not to sell, but to tease. I teach you how to do the nuanced selling and how to skirt around getting put in Facebook jail, or having your accounts banned entirely across different platforms. Helpful hint, Reddit and Twitter are the sex work friendly platforms. That is where you want to be able to freely promote on social media, but also have backup accounts. I talked about having multiple backup accounts on every platform for a reason. So never, ever, ever put your eggs in one basket. Because if you're using social media as your one and only way to promote, and then therefore you are also using only one profile on that platform, you run the risk of losing your account entirely, losing all those followers. You want to drive traffic to your backup accounts, and you want to make sure that each of the platforms you're operating on, that you are following their community standards and understand that it can be very arbitrary. You could actually have your account banned even though you didn't violate any community standards. I have seen creators on TikTok come within 50,000 followers, shy of 1 million followers. At 950,000 followers, they were permanently banned. And there was nothing that they did that violated the community standards. Attorneys had to get involved. It was crazy. And I know that once you get on the radar on social media, once you get popped, once you get your community violation notification, you're on the radar forever. And it takes a lot to get out of the algorithm that scrutinizes you higher than, say, another user on the platform that's doing, you know, selling their Etsy shop stuff, okay? So do not promote on social media. You want to tease on social media, and you want to drive traffic across multiple platforms using multiple different profiles with backups. Another thing I see creators do is that they're operating from their personal accounts. Don't ever, ever, ever operate from your personal account. If you intend on being in the industry, your personal account obviously is going to give identifiable information. I am a bit of an exception to this rule because I am very public about what I do. And so if you intend on staying anonymous and not getting doxxed and so on, those are risks that I assume. I do not want you to think that operating from your personal account is a wise idea. That is a very calculated and strategic thing that I do. Next thing is you need to understand the rules of whichever platform you are on. You must go into the terms of service, the acceptable use, fine print, whether that is on social media, on a particular website, whether it's in a subreddit on Reddit, whether it is on a Telegram group, whatever the case may be, you have got to get really good at reading the rules of any group you are in, through any chat you are in, through any website you are in, through any social media platform you are on. You must know and understand the terms of service, the rules, the acceptable use agreements. There are certain criterias to participate in certain threads, different types of shout out threads. Everywhere you go, you need to know the rules in which you need to operate so that you are not getting blacklisted and banned in very profitable groups that could help you because you went in and then you started spouting off without pausing and slowing down to read the rules, to read the etiquette, to understand what is expected of you on what you can and cannot do while you are in that space. So get very good about reading the rules and understanding them 100% no matter where you post. Another common mistake, this is especially prevalent with newbies. Do not treat this as a get-rich-quick scheme. This type of work is work, and you need to treat your business like the business that it is. And you need to understand that at first, you may have some gains. You may have a flurry of activity, and you might make a good chunk of money. And then 2 weeks later, it's like things died down. You're going to have your ups and your downs. This is not something that's going to get you rich overnight. This is something you build. You create momentum. You create traction. You are building your clientele. You're building your branding and your identity. And you're going to scale your business and you're going to expand it and you're going to diversify it and you're going to create additional income streams as you move along. This is not something that you can just make a bunch of money in 2 months and then you're out. Okay. You need to be in this in the long haul. You need to understand that this is a business and that you're going to run it like the business that it is. And it takes time, consistency, dedication. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, for lack of better words. And you're going to have your good days and you're going to have your bad days. Do not count on it for things like buying a house, buying a car. This is unreliable income. And this does need to be something that you're willing to take some losses on before you get into it. You need to be willing to have your good days and your bad days, your good months and your bad months. Understand that you're not going to become this sensation overnight. People who make $1 million a month have worked freaking hard to get to where they are, or they were already recognizable. They were already branded. They were a celebrity. They had a large following. You're going to need to chip away every day and put the work in for you to have those rewards. And speaking of running your business like the business that it is, another common mistake that sex workers make is that they don't track their income and expenses. You need to have your income separate from your, separated out in your banking and accounting system. You need to set up an actual tracking system. You need to keep your receipts because a lot of the things that you do are tax deductible. Every time you get your hair done, your nails done, every time you buy spa items, every time you make clothing purchases, every time you pay a photographer, every time you are investing in your business, those are business write-offs. And you are a write-off. Things that you do, your self-care, your makeup, like literally
the sky is the limit. And I do encourage you to get with a tax advisor on what things can and can't be written off within your business as a sex worker. But understand that you do need to track your income, you need to track your expenses, and you need to keep your personal and your business expenses separated. Another mistake commonly made in the industry is that there is a lack of consistency. I know I am guilty of this myself. I have days where I'm hella productive, and then I have other days where I don't show up for a few days, and that's perfectly fine. Life is happening, but the more consistent you are, the more consistent your business is going to show back up for you and your buyers and so on. You need to be consistent. You need to have follow through. You need to, stay on top of your inboxes, stay on top of each of the websites that you are active on. You need to remain active for people to see that you are not just going to bolt and disappear for a week. You need to be active on your social media. You need to be consistent and have follow through and have a plan to remain consistent and have follow through. Now, I will say this, because there are times when I do legitimately need to step away from my business. I like to have that luxury. I like to have that freedom. Many times it's absolutely necessary. So I have automated systems that run automatically while I'm stepping away. I have things that are automated on social media. I can outsource things and so on. And so that's why I created the Work It Baby program. And I'm still building it out. And I am open to receiving requests for applications to join the program. But if you have trouble with consistency and staying organized and showing up and having follow through, that program would be a really great idea. But you do need to have consistency in your business. Another common mistake I see is that you act like other people in the industry are your competition. There is no competition, only collaboration and cooperation. And once you step into this world, if you're new, understand that networking and collaborating is the key to your success. You need to be the type of person that's willing to hype up your, quote, competition, to network with them, to collaborate with them, to share information, to refer people. Like, the more cooperative you are and the more you network and you make friends within the industry, and the more that you have a positive reputation, not just with your buyers and your subscribers, but also with fellow creators and sellers, you need to be able to get along and to network and to really build your tribe as you move through this type of business.
And one more common mistake that people make, and I've already touched on this in a different episode, you don't get something for nothing. Financial domination does tend to be appealing to newbies because they think that, much like the whole get rich quick and so on, it doesn't exactly work that way. You need to understand what you're stepping into. You need to understand the power dynamics. I've talked about that in a previous episode as well. The whole fuck you pay me script doesn't work. It's not sustainable if you don't understand what you're getting into. The other thing is the sugar daddy thing. Again, you don't get something for nothing. There is a connection that is being established. It is very nuanced. So understand that this assumption that you can get something for nothing is not entirely true. You can get a whole lot of things for very little, but you never get something for nothing. So that is a common mindset going in, thinking that somebody can just get thousands of dollars every month and that just to look pretty. There's a little bit more work to that. There is a little bit more nuance to that. So I do want to, you know, remind everyone that, yeah, this is a business. This is work. This is the most fun work I've had. This is truly the easiest job I've had, but it doesn't come without dedication, consistency, putting in the work, and paying your dues. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and shift gears a little bit here, and let's go ahead and start talking about the selling process itself. Ways that you can sell spicy things on the internet without having to get naked. We're going to start there. So last month, for fun, I did a video on TikTok that was 60 seconds, and I listed all of the things, the weird things or spicy things I sell on the internet, and I rattled off a list of items that fell into the category of things that I didn't have to get naked for. Now, mind you, I get naked on the internet a lot, so I'm not trying to avoid it, but it occurred to me there's a lot of people in my Facebook group that wanted to stay anonymous, wanted to avoid having to get naked, and wanted to still be in the industry and to get their feet wet into the kink and fetish world. So I was listing off different things, examples of things I've either sold or things that I have done to be compensated in some way. And so some of those things created quite a stir because then everybody was concerned about the DNA and witchcraft and oh my goodness. I now to date have over 260,000 views on that one TikTok. And so I really want to stick with that list that was on the TikTok. If you are not familiar with the TikTok or you didn't find me through TikTok, if you go over to TikTok and look me up as at Polly Cougar, P-O-L-Y-C-O-U-G-A-R. You're going to see a video if you scroll down that has about 260,000 views or more, depending on when you're accessing this. It's still going wild and still going strong. But I list a bunch of things. But if you don't have the time to do that, we're going to go ahead and just go over each of those things. Now, it basically is this. Anything that touches your body, is excreted from your body or comes from your body is sellable. And so in the examples I gave in my TikTok, I said, I can sell socks or anything that has to do with my feet. That means that I can sell old shoes. The spicier they are, the better. The more I have worn them, the stinkier they've gotten, like gym shoes, or say a pair of flip-flops that are like my favorite that I've been wearing for a while. When I'm getting ready to replace them, I can sell them for the replacement cost plus a little add-on for however spicy they are. A pair of shoes that I wore on a particular photo shoot, if somebody is really wanting to buy the outfit that I wore in the photo shoot, I can sell that. But socks and anything that has to do with my feet are huge sellers. Pantyhose, stockings, people have feet fetishes. And it's not just what touches my feet, but things that have to do with my feet, such as my toenail clippings, believe it or not. Those are a fetish. I can get my mani and pedis paid for by somebody who wants to see pictures of my feet after they've been properly manicured. Foot dust, when I use the little petty egg and I get the little, you know, scrapings off of my heels and calluses, that could be packaged up and sold. Any type of foot shavings, like if you use like a callus remover of any kind, that's also falls into that category. You can do pictures of feet. You can do videos of feet. I just ordered a bunch of bulk items. I bought them in bulk, but I bought glitter and oils. I bought some almond oil. I've got coconut oil. I got this big, massive container of coconut oil. And then I got big packages of micro fine glitter. And I'm going to mix it together and I'm going to drizzle that oil on my feet and rub them and wiggle my toes and spread my toes and run my fingers through my toes. And I'm going to show the bottoms of my feet and I'm going to, rub my feet together. I do photo shoots with just my feet, whether they're at home photos or whether I do it in the studio. I've done professional photo shoots with just my feet. And so if you are new to it, I encourage you to kind of look, like I said, poke your head around on like,
The All Things Worn website, see what the listings show, see what people are offering, see what the market is, see, you know, what the pricing is and so on. Feet are a really, really, really big selling item, and it doesn't require you to be seen in the video. Your feet alone are enough. If you've got, and here's the funny thing, you don't have to have pretty feet in order to appeal to an audience. Some people have a kink for ugly feet, for calloused feet, for gnarled feet, for somebody with bunions, with, you know, somebody missing a toe. I mean, literally anybody with feet can sell anything that has to do with their feet. So let's say I want to sell a pair of socks that got nice and spicy. I wore them to the gym. I wore them outside and they got really dirty. I walked around and maybe dog hair or cat hair is on them. Like, you literally pull them off of your feet, and you can even video that. So many people love to see you taking off stockings slowly, taking off socks slowly, taking off shoes and your socks, and, you know, the unveiling process of taking socks off your feet is a marketable product. It's a video. And then what you do is, I use a vacuum sealer. You can use Ziploc bags. But a vacuum sealer will keep them nice and spicy. It will retain the scent of the particular clothing item much better by using a vacuum sealer. I use a vacuum sealer. I take them off while they are fresh. I literally put them in the vacuum sealer and package them up immediately, whether I have a buyer or not. I want to preserve the, quote, freshness of that particular item, so that when it comes time to ship it, it still is retaining that and not losing its effect, if you will. So feet, that is a very big market. Yes, there is a lot of competition. Yes, a lot of people jump into it, and a month or two later, they fall off the radar. But if you stick with it, you can really build up a great clientele and do your research and see what really drives people to buy, okay, for your particular feet. And so that is item number one, your feet. Your face doesn't need to be in the photos. That is something that you can sell without getting naked or being identifiable. Another thing that you can sell that doesn't require you getting naked is your clothing. I think that, you know, socks is one thing. You can sell your bras and your panties. You can sell the bras and panties as a set. You can sell your panties alone. And how the whole panties thing work is, the longer you wear them, the spicier they get and the more money you can get from it. Some people have a knack for being sweaty, and or they wear their undergarments to the gym. They get them nice and ripe, and that is prime time to go ahead and vacuum seal that up and get it ready, put a listing up, and send it out. It does help if you have photos of you wearing that particular item. Laying it out on a bed is also something you can do, and not putting it on your body, but it does sell better if you take really good photos while it's on your body. Your face does not have to be in the photo, so that is something that technically you can be anonymous about, is your undergarments. Any clothing that touches your body, your workout outfits, a dress that you wore for a photo shoot, lingerie that you have worn, stockings that you have worn, garter belts, like literally anything that touches your body clothing wise, you can take pictures and video. You can leave your face out of it, and you can sell those as well. And just remember, the fresher they are in their ripeness, such as putting them in a vacuum sealer while they are literally just coming off your body, as stinky as you can get it or as fragrant as you can get it, is best. That is definitely a big market that you can optimize on. Another thing that doesn't require you getting naked is everyday activities, things you would normally do
every day. Now, let me explain that one. I don't smoke, but I do vape. So I can do videos of me vaping. That is actually a kink. I have been paid really good money just to have videos of me sitting and vaping. I can smoke a cigarette, but I charge way extra because I am no longer a smoker. I gave up cigarettes a long time ago, and even though I gave up smoking, I do vape because I have an oral fixation that needs to be satisfied on the daily. So vaping is my thing. So I do get requests for everyday things like me vaping. Another thing that is a big seller is eating. There are different ways that you can optimize this. You eating a big juicy cheeseburger, people watching you eat is a kink. It is a fetish. So you just eating a meal is a thing. You can do that. And some will prefer that you do it in a messy way, that it's like dripping down your chin, things like that. But it's not always the case. There is something called a mukbang where you sit down and you eat large volumes of food in one sitting. You can just roll camera and gorge on your favorite foods. One way that you can optimize this is have somebody pay for, you know, your favorite meal at a particular restaurant. They can send you a gift card to a particular restaurant, and then you can film a video, and then you can charge them for the video itself on top of the cost of the meal. So you can get your meals paid for plus make a profit just by selling videos of you eating. Drinking, okay? This is also something that you can optimize on. Now, obviously, eating, drinking, vaping, your face is going to be in the video, but you're not naked. You don't have to be naked, but you are identifying yourself by doing these particular activities. Drinking can be done on a lot of clip sites. A lot of people will ask for custom content, and what they do is they want to see you get drunk. Now, please be safe. Please put yourself in a safe environment. Do not do anything that you are uncomfortable with. If this is not your thing, then certainly by all means, don't do it. This is something that's more risky, but it is a complete category on a lot of these clip sites. And what your buyer will do is you would drink alcohol, a sealed bottle. You have to break the seal on camera so they know that you haven't traded the vodka for water, okay? And you basically drink, and they get to watch you become inebriated over time throughout the course of the camera rolling. A lot of people make a lot of really good money. I know one creator who made $700 just to imbibe on camera. And so just know that it's actually a thing. And if you don't mind being seen on camera, this is a category you can definitely get into. You don't have to get naked or be naked in order to sell that kind of content. Everyday activities such as those really do have a market for it. Another thing on the everyday thing category is putting on makeup. A lot of times people really find a lot of satisfaction watching you go through your morning routine. They love to see how you put on your makeup. They love to see the before and after so you can roll camera while you're getting ready in the morning. They love to watch you brush your hair, curl your hair, blow dry your hair, getting ready in the morning and getting yourself and getting your day started. Moving through your everyday life can be documented and sold. Which brings us to the things that you use to put on your makeup, therefore become something that you can also sell. I sell everything from makeup remover pads to cotton balls to things that I like take off nail polish with, the cotton balls with my nail polish on it, Q-tips. I mean, literally the sky's the limit. You could go down the rabbit hole of selling other toiletries, such as used douches, used dental floss, toothbrushes, anything, again, that you use to get ready or to address your hygiene, those are marketable and sellable. Every single thing that touches your body can be sold. As they always say, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Well, one woman's trash is another man's fantasy. So your bathroom trash, if you blow your nose, that's sellable. You can sell your spit. You can sell, like I said, the, you know, toenail clippings. You can sell your fingernail clippings, your cuticle clippings. You can sell your hair. You can, from your hairbrush, you can sell the scrub brush that you scrub your back with every day. You can sell anything that touches your feet for the pedicure, although I don't want to go back over that again, but like literally anything that touches your body or comes out of your body, any hygiene products, like the sky is the limit here. You can get very imaginative. Like I could, when I'm ready to throw away my contacts, that is something I can sell. My empty shampoo bottles can be sold. My face wash, the water that I use in my bathtub, anything that is a byproduct of me beautifying myself becomes an item that is someone else's fantasy, kink, or fetish. And speaking of trash and your normal everyday routine of, say, putting on your makeup, when you are done or getting low on a particular mascara or lip gloss or your eyeshadow, all of those things can be packaged up and sold as well. I know it sounds strange. I know it sounds unusual. But the thing is there's a market for that. So I sell items for the replacement cost plus extra, including the shipping and handling. So let's say I have a lip gloss that cost me $8. Well, and then I would basically sell that for maybe $10 plus $5 shipping and handling. So I can get rid of a lip gloss tube. A tube of lip gloss that has just a little bit left in the bottom is enough for me to make a profit and buy the new lip gloss that I need. It's really actually kind of fun to be able to get the replacement cost for something that you just used up and being able to sell your bathroom leftovers and trash and used items is a really actual business. So clearly I've given you a lot of examples, a lot of things that you may not never have thought about, things that might just blow your mind and you're like, oh my God, how in the world do you sell something like that? And the thing is because it's taboo, because it's forbidden, because it's so unusual, it's something that has a market for it. And so I'm going to encourage you to get creative. I'm going to encourage you to go to the different websites that I listed, not only on my TikToks, but in this podcast. Explore some of those sites, look at those listings, see what everybody else is selling, get ideas, get inspiration. But literally, as you move through the day, have yourself a bunch of little sandwich baggies, Ziploc bags. As I put on my makeup, I'm popping my Q-tips and my cotton balls and my used tissues and like literally anything that touches my body or that I use, gets saved and sold. And so I think that this is a lot of fun. It, like I said, these are the examples that don't require you getting naked. Now, technically the bath water, you do have to be naked, but your buyer is not going to see you actually naked. You're not going to send a video of you in the bath water. You simply can just send a video, or I mean, the bath water itself. Now you're going to get better buyers if you do have yourself on video in that bath water, showing that you're collecting it and bottling it up and so on. That is going to be more of an appeal, but you can get away with selling your bath water without showing yourself being naked in that bath. You can get creative and show you sitting inside the tub, but you see nothing other than your head peeking out, or the bubbles on your foot that might be raised above the ledge of the tub. You can get creative and, you know, take photos that don't require actual nudity. You can have implied nudity
in your videos or your photos if you want to enhance your listing further. But these are just a quick rundown of things that don't require you getting naked. Many of them don't even require you showing your face, and so you can stay anonymous. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on social media. You can comment on my TikToks. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, IG as at Polly Cougar, PolyCougar. I think on the next episode, I want to talk about things that do require you getting naked and how you can market those things as well. And I think I want to talk about some very unique categories that are really good sellers. Have you ever heard of something called a stuck video? Technically, you don't have to be naked in that one, but I want to close out this episode with things that I listed in my TikTok that went viral. And then we're going to go down some rabbit holes of things like stuck videos and ways that you can market yourself for things like giantess videos. If you don't know what those are, then you definitely want to tune in for episode 8. This is TL, the Kinky Cougar, signing off on this episode. Thank you again for being here. If you found this episode or any other episode to be very helpful, I encourage and invite you, but do not require you, to go and show your appreciation at buymeacoffee.com/Polly Cougar. I always love to hear your feedback and your questions and your concerns. And like I said, follow me on all the social medias under at Polly Cougar. And I will be checking my inboxes to see if you have reached out to me, and I may answer your question on a future episode. All right, you guys have a great day. I hope that you are enjoying everything that's going on in your life right now. And if you're under a lot of stress, take a breath, lean into your self-care, and go collect that bath water from that bubble bath you just took to relax and chill. All right, you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.